Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
We're up to verse 7 of the first chapter. So we've got another 40 verses of the first chapter and then another two chapters to go. So we should be done by about 26 maybe, I don't know. We'll just see how we're tracking with it. But I would encourage you, if you have missed something, please jump back, jump on board the podcast. We really believe that God is building something line upon line within our church, that this is a really pivotal thing. And there is things that we will discuss that if you miss the context because you've missed a week, it's going to be hard kind of to catch up. So I don't know about you. I saw the second Lord of the Rings without seeing the first one. It was not a fantastic experience because I had no idea what was going on. And so I just encourage you guys to go back, listen to the podcast, make sure you're up to speed. We want to be journeying this through as a community. And this is really directing us as a church to where we feel God is calling us to go for the next season. And we're not just taking a long time to do it because we just are looking for words. We're not deliberately looking to tell a long story. It's just the way that God's got it. Who knows, we have people in our life who can tell a short story, and then we have people in our lives who like to tell a long story. And as much as I love my wife, she has a great natural ability to take a short story and turn it into a long story. And one of the things that I have learned is when she's halfway through the story, don't stop her and ask her, is there a shorter version of it? But just to stay engaged. We are up to verse number 7, and we're looking at blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And we see that the quality commended is that we are called to show mercy. So this is, if we look at the Beatitudes as a chain, we can't miss the links. And each one, God has purposefully, Jesus, as he taught them, he has purposefully spoken one and then another and then joined another onto it. So this one, we start to make the shift into where the first four, we're looking at how we relate to God. It's the us and God. We start to shift into how do we relate with our fellow man? How do we take the what God has done in us and the revelations that we should have out of the first four and then start to spread and show those to our fellow man? So we're looking at mercy. We see that mercy is benevolence, it's forgiveness, it's kindness in a variety of ethical, religious, social, and legal contexts. The dictionary would define it as compassion, shown especially to an offender or subject to one's power. Leniency, it's compassionate treatment. And we see this as probably something that we don't necessarily have a great engagement with as a society. We love the idea of justice, we're not so big on the idea of mercy. We need to get that there is a difference between grace and mercy. We see grace in the context for us as believers, people who are connected to God. We see the grace as undeserved favour or kindness. It's getting what we don't deserve. We get God's favour. We experience his kindness even though we don't deserve it. And it deals with our sin. We see charis is the word that we would use to see through the Bible and the scriptures. And it looks at God's ability to pardon us, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to reinstate us, even though we don't deserve it. So we don't deserve the forgiveness that we actually receive. And this is grace. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So it deals with the result of our sin. And we see here that we find relief, we find healing, we find help in this space. This is the fact that we deserve punishment and we deserve death for our sins, but we don't experience that from God. And it's a great reminder that our salvation isn't works-based, but it is something that God gifts us. It is an incredible gift that we should be eternally grateful for. And I guess I'm incredibly glad that God's economy doesn't work, that he just gives me what I deserve. He gives me so much more, and he actually doesn't give me what I truly do deserve if it was based off just my actions. I read this story as we were preparing the message, and it's a story about Napoleon and when he was the emperor. And it says, a mother once approached him seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demanded his death. But I don't ask for justice, the mother explained. I plead you for mercy. But your son doesn't deserve mercy, was Napoleon's reply. Sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for. Well then, says the emperor, I will grant you mercy. And he spared the woman's son as he understood the idea of mercy and experiencing mercy.
What an amazing God we've got that He gives us so much that we don't deserve. So many blessings. Salvation in and of itself is such a phenomenal gift that we don't deserve. And there's so many things that we do deserve that he doesn't give us, which I'm just so incredibly grateful for. So this beatitude is teaching us that we, you and me, the person next to you, we are called to show mercy. I mean, just think about your life for just a second. Do you think that you are the kind of person that shows mercy? Just thinking about it, based on the definition that Michael's just shown us, and thinking about mercy is not giving people what they do deserve, Are you a person that jumps at the chance to give them what they deserve, or are you somebody that actually is a person of mercy in the context that we're talking about? So let me just make it, we are called to show mercy, but let's just make it clear that God showing us mercy is not dependent on whether we show others mercy. But let me just mess with your head for a little bit, because it gets pretty intense in a few minutes, because once we've received God's mercy, we get a revelation of the first four Beatitudes and we jump into this one, there's a responsibility that we then have to actually understand we begin to carry about showing others mercy and forgiving others. And Jesus hits that pretty hard, which we'll see in just a minute. You know, what we're seeing here is, I guess, a reiteration of, you know, what you sow is what you reap. You show mercy in due course, you will be shown mercy, is what this beatitude is teaching us. In Matthew 7, just a little bit later in the Beatitudes, it says, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. And in Galatians 6, verse 7, it talks about, God will not be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. And again, this beatitude is starting to enter us into that idea, Jesus' teachings that he repeats again and again, that what we sow is what we will reap. But as I've just alluded to, just in asking you that question, I think, like Michael said too, is that human nature tends to probably err on the side of justice and revenge rather than mercy. I mean, the revenge movies are far more blockbusterish than, you know, those that have extended mercy. Mother Teresa doco, you know, doesn't really rate in the top box office ratings on the planet, but whereas, like, you know, you think about the other ones, Stasis, Crisis, Quest, Revenge, you know, those ones are the ones that everyone wants to jump on board. But Aristotle said this: human justice can be quite brutal. It's mercy that seasons justice and makes justice more humane. And so we're talking about that natural human tendency. We're all human, that we have this natural tendency, and even news itself, we gravitate towards certain stories, and we like to follow certain stories through, I've noticed, around, you know, revenge type things, or somebody being persecuted or prosecuted, they've done something terrible and bad, and we want to make sure justice is served. I'm not anti-justice, and we're not advocating that there be no penalties for people's crimes. I'm not saying that, but isn't it interesting? We're more than happy to, but there's a tsunami or there's a crisis somewhere around the world. It's in the papers for 2 days, but how many of us actually continue to follow those stories up? As an example, that we have this natural tendency towards, you know, other aspects that come more naturally to us, because revenge is delicious and forgiveness is way too lame. You know, is generally, I guess, maybe one perception. But we're told here in this beatitude that there is a blessing promised attached to those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And I believe it's not just from God, but from our fellow man as well. Yeah. And you might just automatically sit there, because we wrestled through this. It's like, well, you know, like if you're showing mercy to people, does it always come back to you? And we kind of like went down that little rabbit warren for a while and trying to work out, really, is this, how does this translate? How do we apply this in the work environment or with our friends, of constantly being that person who shows mercy? But let me ask you this question. Do you think there'll ever be a time that you will need mercy? And if you think there's going to be a day where, I'll be fine, that's called a Messiah complex. Means that you think you're perfect, and we need to pray for that after this morning's service. Or what about this one? Maybe you'd be sitting there just going, I don't like mercy. Why should I show mercy? Well, if that's the case, I'd probably say, you know, like, do not pass go. Go directly to, not jail, but go directly to Beatitude 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because as Michael said, there's this golden chain. They're all intricately linked and built and attached to one another. And it's the revelation that we need to get from the first four that leads us to this one, first five that lead us to this one. And they all come together to help us understand the weight and the significance of what Jesus is saying here in this beatitude. So we'll get to that in just a second. But we're called to show mercy here, not in a tit for tat, if they do, I will, or when they do, I will. We're just called as followers of Christ to be people who show mercy. And I think it's really important for us to actually understand the progression once again. I think there's going to be moments throughout this series where we just have to kind of like just get perspective in the context of this sentence. We can't read it in isolation, otherwise it'll be taken out of context. But we have to kind of understand how each of these is built so we can actually allow the revelation of this particular sentence to sink in and for us to be able to apply it to our lives. Does that make sense? Yeah. So once we actually understand the magnitude of our sin before Almighty God, that's understanding that all of our sin, regardless of how big or small we think our sin is, or how good or bad we think we are, is irrelevant to God. Sin is sin. It's abhorrent. And we have to get that revelation of how big our sin is before a holy, perfect God, that I'm spiritually bankrupt, that I'm spiritually poor, the first one, that I've got nothing to offer, or that I'm worthy in no way, that I need to repent, I need to mourn for those sins, I need to get a revelation of just that sense of grievance that I've caused God and the offense that it's caused God, and I need to carry the weight of that sin and mourn that sin and for the sin of the world. And as I begin to be truly remorseful for that and sorry of that sin that offends God, that I need to just hand it all over and I need to let it all go. I need to, repentance is turning the other way and starting to think in a totally different way, which is the Beatitudes of what Jesus is teaching us. I need to hand all of that over. I need to hand everything over. I can't hold on to anything. I've got to hand it all over. The good stuff, the bad stuff, the anger, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the resentment, my own actions, my sinful condition. That when I hand that over and I humbly come before him and say, God, I'm so sorry. I've got nothing to offer you. I thank you for your incredible grace and your forgiveness. And I receive that, and we receive his grace and we actually receive his mercy. It's a phenomenal experience that it has to be a revelation. It can't just be head knowledge. That we have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation of these Beatitudes to get us to this point. But we've also got to keep reminding ourselves that this salvation that I have, I don't deserve. I don't deserve this. I'm probably more so in this day and age, how I should say that is, I'm not entitled to it. I don't have an entitlement to this salvation. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? The more entitled people get, the less joyful they are. When I lose my sense of entitlement and I actually slip into, oh my gosh, I don't deserve this, great joy comes with that. If you're not experiencing joy in your life right now, maybe because you've slipped into a sense of entitlement. Well, I deserve this. No, you don't. Salvation in and of itself should just be enough. And we get that revelation, I don't deserve that. God, your incredible grace and your mercy, what I do deserve is the wrath of God. We were once objects of wrath, but because of God's grace, we're now recipients of his favor and blessing and kindness. You see, an outward sign that we understand exactly what I've just said, that we actually understand and grasp that we've been forgiven and we're living out the Beatitudes that we've covered so far, is that we're free to forgive others. Yeah. Think about that for a second. When we get a revelation of what I've just said, we start to live out the Beatitudes, we're free to forgive others. You see, when we actually understand, you see, because some of us have had people do things to us that unspeakable, horrible. And I don't want to belittle that with what I'm about to say. But I believe God's, well, I spoke to Michael and I this morning about a phenomenal potential breakthrough key. And Michael's going to touch on that in a second. But I just want to touch on this, is that when we grasp how horrible our personal sin is, don't judge anyone, don't think about anyone else right now, just think about yourself. How horrible my sin, Phil's sin, is before God. And I start to think that I don't deserve this incredible grace, and what I should be is an object of God's wrath. When I actually get a revelation of that, God has set me free from my burden, then whatever somebody does to me Doesn't matter how brutal or horrible it is, it pales into insignificance. Theologically, it pales into insignificance of my own personal sin, that how I've offended God. So the weight of people's offense against me does not and cannot relate to the weight and burden of sin compared to a holy, perfect God. So therefore, when I get a revelation of that forgiveness, no matter what somebody does to me, and again, I'm not belittling serious and heavy, intense situations. Please, I'm not trying to do that. But if we can get a revelation of this in a minute, it can bring breakthrough in your life, and you're going to hear why. But we need to understand that when I've got that revelation, when somebody does something to me, regardless on however I scale it, and in human nature and in society, we scale crimes and sin, and we need to do that. We need a judiciary, penal system, all of that. I get that, but that offense towards me, I am more free to forgive that person because I've got a revelation of what he's done for me. Some of you are looking at me like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not meant to make sense. Because it's a supernatural spiritual transaction where I've got no right to be spiritually alive. Yeah. But God's breathed his life into me. And what an incredible thing. And this is where the responsibility I have when I get that revelation, my showing mercy to others doesn't determine whether God shows mercy to me, but there's a weight of responsibility that when I get that revelation, I have a responsibility to carry. And let me clarify that. Let me qualify that statement. Is that those who don't show mercy, grace, forgiveness, once they've received it, God does not take too kindly to that. So I wonder, people that struggle to show mercy, whether you've got a real revelation of God's mercy and grace to you. The unmerciful servant, we referred to that a few times, but later in the Sermon on the Mount, we'll come back to this one. How's this? So there's no doubting, no confusion about what I've just said, about our responsibility to forgive others. But if we find it hard to forgive others, maybe we need a fresh revelation of the previous Beatitudes that have brought us to this point. Yeah. Why? Have a listen to this. Jesus' words, they're in red, so don't get upset with me. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But there are some great buts in the Bible. And there are some really confronting, challenging other kind of buts here. And this is one of them. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I didn't make that up. We're not running away from that verse. We've got to deal with that verse, people. And we've got to live out of that. How do you forgive people when they've done certain things to you? I'm not saying it's easy. But maybe part of the process is getting a revelation of what God has forgiven you for.
I think we need to keep in mind, as Phil said, like who Jesus is speaking to when he's doing the Sermon on the Mount. Because he's speaking to his disciples. And so he's bringing together people who have already, as Phil said, they've already experienced God's mercy. And he's saying to them, hey, you've experienced it, and now I'm putting it on you to go and show others. We got to this moment, I think, as we were putting this message together. And I think God really struck us with the in this moment here today. And we really trust, because we were going to preach this message last week and then God had a better idea and so we went with that, and that was awesome. But upon reflection, we go, okay, at this moment, we really believe that there are people here that this is your moment where God is going to do something of great significance for you. We're doing renovations at our house at the moment, and I don't know about you, if you've done renos, I like to do as much as I can, and so I have a really good go, and then I'll do it, and then I'll normally stuff it up, and then I'll go and find one of my mates who actually knows what they're doing and is qualified, and then they come and I say, how can I help? And they say, go and get me a coffee. And it's like I'm 15-year-old apprentice. Like, there's things I'm not allowed to do because Holly's told me I'm not allowed to do electrical work because she doesn't want to be fearful every time she flicks the switch. Which, you know, kind of came from one time I was changing the socket in the shed, the light fitting in the shed, and because I'd smashed it by accident. And so I had it unwired and I was rewiring the new socket in, and Holly came into the shed and I hadn't turned the power on the house off. I just turned that light switch off. And Holly came in and said, wow, it's really dark in here, and turned the switch on and that was not ideal. And so since then, I'm not allowed to do electrical work, even though that was her fault, not mine. We're doing renovations at the moment. We live in this really old house. And so for us to do a renovation, We can't just put a lick of paint on it, and we can't just maybe hang a new sheet of plaster. We've got to strip it right back. So for us to do something of significance and us to rebuild it to what it needs to be, we've got to rip out the ceiling, I'm ripping out the floors, I'm ripping out the walls. It's kind of like camping in my house at the moment with no floors and ceiling, and the outside is coming inside a fair bit, and you know, and that's okay. But who knows that sometimes God needs to actually strip stuff right back. He can't just stick a lick of paint on it. He can't just maybe stick some new tiles up. He wants to actually excavate. And he wants to start again, and he wants to lay the foundations again. And he is more than qualified to do that, because he is your creator. And so we got to this point in the message, and we really felt like there is people here who need a breakthrough. And there's people here who have things in their life. And as Phil said, sometimes in life we get dealt a bad hand of cards. And things have happened, traumatic events have happened. There is deep pain and loss and trauma and betrayal and hurt, rejection, slander. And I can understand that it's hard to forgive, because those things are deep-seated wounds. But we really felt that God is calling us to a point of forgiveness today, and that he is drawing us and bringing us into a space with him. We're out of the revelation of those first Beatitudes. God would position us to be able to forgive those that have transgressed against us, and that wouldn't be a limiting factor in your life anymore. And it maybe you've gone and sought help, and you've had counseling, and you've spoken to people about this, and we encourage all of those things. They are amazing tools that God puts. But sometimes there's a spiritual blockage that takes place, and God wants to shift that for people today. That he would want to bring a revelation and a new experience of the blessing of those first Beatitudes. And it would be out of that, this would be a key point to receiving freedom, to experiencing the ability to forgive. Because who knows, that unforgiveness doesn't limit the other person, it limits us. And we just want to speak breakthrough out over this place for everybody here today. That there, those areas of your life where you have been stuck, those things that may have happened that have limited you, and Cher said it so beautifully before, that Jesus came and he said, "I've come so that you could have life and life to the full." And these are the things that limit your ability to experience all that God has for you and all that he would want to do in you and through you. And God wants to partner with you today. We'd encourage you to spend time meditating upon those first Beatitudes, because we genuinely believe that there is significant spiritual breakthrough will take place out of that. Time alone with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak, to reveal, to hold you and walk with you as you look at this stuff. Because the Beatitudes build up to this point. We've said it. It's line upon line. That we're conscious of our spiritual bankruptcy before God. We grieve over this. We're attached to that. We know it. It's a heartfelt thing. We have a hunger for righteousness. And we're merciful to our fellow man, because God has first been merciful to us. And God would say, "Hey, I've shown you guys mercy. And my call now is for you to show others." One of the commentators that we have been reading writes, "I am persuaded that should the Spirit of God usher in another period of revival in the Western world, one of the earliest signs will be admission of spiritual bankruptcy, which finds its satisfaction in God and his righteousness. And this will lead and go on to people being richly merciful towards others." So today, I just think it could be your day. I just think God might have earmarked today as the day for you. The day where you have that revelation, where God does something in your heart and in your soul, something so deep-seated that we would call that almost an excavation of your soul, so he can relay some of those foundations and you can move forward. That the things that have limited you, the things that you have been stuck on, you will no longer be stuck on. And so I just ask now that everyone would just take a moment, shut your eyes, and bow your head, and I'm simply going to pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. Lord God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that we stand before you, and we only do so because you give us what we don't deserve. We experience your grace, and you do not give us what we deserve. And we thank you for your mercy. Holy Spirit, right now in this place, I just pray that you would speak clearly to people. We give permission for you to excavate this morning, Lord. I give you permission in my life.
One of the things that I felt God just speak really clearly to me about with this message is that, and it's in keeping with the breakthrough prayer, for the people Michael's referring to that have kind of like just tried in so many different ways before to get breakthrough, and you've just not been able to overcome, or it's just, you just don't know why. Just felt so clearly that, you know, that encouragement for you to revisit and spend time in those first these Beatitudes up until this point. And as you get that revelation, it's going to be like a heart change. For some of you, it'll be tangible and you'll know it. For others of you, you won't. It won't be so obvious, but encourage you to engage with the opportunity of breakthrough prayer, or as Michael said, we endorse and we encourage appropriate counselling and various forms of therapy, etc. But I believe one of the differences that you will find going back and re-engaging with the appropriate service provider is that there's been a spiritual shift and change. There's been a shift in your heart that will better position yourself for the strategies and the tools for you to be able to move forward in freedom. I know that God can actually do this in an instant if you were to respond in prayer today. We don't doubt that for a second, but I also know that the practicalities of life, and sometimes God allows us to go through a process for growth and development. But I believe this particular beatitude just hit me so strongly around this area of it can be a real breakthrough key for people's lives in the life of our church. And in the months and years ahead, something that we'll come back to and encourage people to go through the beatitude, spend time and allow the Holy Spirit just to bring around that revelation, heart change that's required, that's going to position yourself for the application of principles and keys that you'll be able to overcome. And we're not saying that this here, what happens here this morning, is the end. I believe it's the beginning of a brand new process. It's the beginning of a brand new journey of victory. Mm. And in worship this morning, that word, now I know why. Now I get it. The light just went on for me. But victory. God laid that so strong in my heart. And I thought, that's just got nothing to do with what we're talking about. It's got everything to do with what we're talking about here. He wants you to walk in victory.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.